Hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast. My name is Alex.
And I'm Lizzie. Oh, my God.
And this is What Is From, a podcast dedicated to the epic show From. And we are covering the season finale of the first season. And it's called, Oh, the Places We Will Go. And let me tell you, we went some places, don't you think, Lizzie?
OMG.
It was a whirlwind. It probably rates up with some of some of the best shows out there, and they don't disappoint. They know how to give a good story, a good cliffhanger. And what I love about this show is they checked in with everybody this episode.
That, you know what the thing is? They really do a great job of doing that. Pretty much every episode, you're not left hanging with someone for too long. And I really, really dig that about this show.
And you know, even some of the secondary characters popped up, even if it was for a scene, but they made sure everybody within reason was accounted for.
Speaking of which, did you notice I've got a kerchief on my head?
Well, when we are doing this podcast on Friday night, some big news for Podcastica and people of The Walking Dead, because AMC put one picture up, and what did it say?
I don't know.
It said something like, the world is better with Rick and Michonne Grimes.
Yeah, well, it is.
I'll tell you right now.
Can you see that this is a Walking Dead kerchief?
I can. Yes, I can.
Oh, I didn't think you could see it, but I put it on in honor of the kerchief girl.
Well,
look, there's a storm coming in.
Oh, yes, there's a storm coming in.
There's a storm. Oh, my goodness, it's getting dark.
But I will say this, folks. I mean, we love From, and I know a lot of people love Lost, but this network is
Walking Dead.
And the fact that they're not doing the movies and they're doing a miniseries makes me so much more excited about just wanting to get great content. And that really kind of dovetails us back to the show, because all we do is get great content. And
oh my gosh, like everything. This show is so closely measured and planned out that it's flawless. Flawless. Even the slowest episode was fast. Sorry.
Absolutely.
Alex.
And like I said, you know, they do a great job of the last 10 minutes or so. You buckle up and you hold on for dear life. And that's what I really love about this show. The episodes, and we're going to eventually do a recap of the season right before the new season, but the episodes never seem long enough. And that's just a great a tribute to the writers and the actors, because if you're just thirsting for more and just said, oh my God, this seems like it was 10 minutes ago. Yeah. You know, you're with a good place.
Yeah.
But that said, why don't we get into our points? I know we have about, I think, five. I'm hoping we have five.
We have five.
With our pre-production meeting that we had.
That was 5 minutes.
Yeah, that was about 5 minutes, and it was very involved. You know, we had people there. We had order lunch. Yeah. And I basically came upstairs and said, this is what we're doing, and let's make it happen. So I'm going to let you drive this train a little bit. What is the first topic that we want to talk about, Queen of Fun?
Right. Yeah. So we are going to, I feel like I should go get one of my tiaras if you're going to call me that. But
tiara. It's awesome.
It is a tiara. A tiara is everything. So we are going to start with Boyd and Sarah.
And absolutely.
This is that, I don't know, like, I haven't seen the finale since the show first came out. And when the show first came out, you were waiting every Sunday for a new episode. So I watched it more or less the second it was available. And I was like, wow. And then, typical of me, completely forgot, just quickly forgot everything that was in it. And all this time, I'm thinking the entire thing is about Sarah and Boyd. And everything about this show has showed me that that would be automatically wrong. We know that they are on this big, massive trek, and they are going to find the way out of this place. And it just, the spiders don't like them.
Oh, my God. I was thinking of the movie Arachnophobia, which I don't like, which, by the way, folks, I'm not a creepy, scary kind of movie guy. I know that, you know, I'm doing a show called From, that's all. And I like The Walking Dead,
scary.
But that movie makes you go, ew.
Well,
and that's how I felt.
I do not like spiders. Ever since I moved to Georgia, basically, you're, you know, August through early October is spider. It's not even like shark week. It's just a week. It's spider month. But the month is over 2 months long, and they love to hang out in the bathroom. Every day you're killing spiders and you're showering with them. They see you naked. I really don't like that. You're brushing your teeth and they're asking for toothpaste. That's how crazy spiders are here.
Maybe you should think about moving. I'm just saying.
Dude, I was thinking about it a lot this week, but the spiders have shown up early this year.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's like I'm walking in the kitchen last night. There's this little blonde one just tooling across the floor. And I'm like, damn, you know, I just like leap and jump and land on that thing. They all have long legs, but they are not daddy long legs. They're these banana spiders.
Okay. Are they striped?
They're not that creepy looking striped one.
Okay.
But they just kind of have like, really, they look more like a bicycle seat.
Oh, you know, wow. It, ooh.
Yeah, it's like that curve.
And wait, you know? Wait, what month is this?
July.
So what?
They're early. They started showing up at the beginning of this month. I was like, dude, I don't even have you checked in until August 2nd.
Oh, well, remind me not to go there until after October.
You know, because like Norman Reedus's hairdresser would rent a room from one of my friends. And he would always complain to her during August. And she's like, you're a grown ass man. Deal with the spiders. It's like, what are you going to do? You're living in Georgia. You know, like living in the South, it's a whole different relationship with bugs. But
well,
anyway.
Yes, that is true. I just know one thing. What's the difference between a palmetto bug and a roach? One flies.
The
they're both the same exact thing.
They're huge, though, down here.
But that said, we were talking about spiders and how did he get to that point? Why don't you explain how he got to that point?
Okay. All right. So when we last saw Boyd and Sarah, they were being dragged through the woods by who knows what. But, you know, so we wake up the next day and there's a slash in the tent. She's sitting there and she's got a worm and she's like, do you think bugs know what's going on? You know, do they even care? You know, and he's like, it's a worm. That thing can get cut in half and grow back two sides.
I love that statement because he's so pissed at her. Yeah. He just is like, you're an idiot. Just stop.
No, it's not even that. Like, I mean, I wonder stuff too. Like,
no, I understand. But at that point in the relationship, so to speak, he had had it with her. He had it with the place.
I mean, you know, they don't even know what was dragging them.
They had a foghorn or a lighthouse horn or something.
Yeah, it was all sorts of stuff. Like, you know, the War of the Worlds horn. That's that horn I really just hate. And he's holding his boat key And, you know, and she's holding the worm and the tent has a slash in it and they don't know what dragged them. And he says, that's it. I'm going outside. They go outside and everything is covered in thick, thick webs.
Absolutely.
But it was driving me nuts. You know, the, you know how when caterpillars take over a tree like that?
Yeah.
What is that called? What are their, what is all that stuff called?
Oh, I know listeners are going to tell us. It's like the catacombs. Oh, I can't think of
it's not the catacombs.
Not the catacombs. I know. It's called something.
It has a name. I couldn't think of what it was.
Crisp. Oh, my
the chrysalis? No, the chrysalis is the little thing they hang in.
All right. Well, my like science.
It's just all that crap. But anyway, it's everywhere and they're just walking through it. I'm like, there is no way. If it looks like a web, I am not going there. Like last, wasn't it Tabitha was going somewhere and there's all, oh, we don't know. I was watching something else. I was watching Shining Vale. That. Oh, but anyway, I don't want to get off track again. So they're walking. They come to this, they're standing there and he hears a female's voice, you know, asking for help or yelling
and
for help.
And what's interesting about that?
Yeah.
He's the only one that can hear it.
Yeah. Like up until this point, we're thinking it's just Sarah with all the voices, but he hears a woman screaming for help and he starts running and she's like, wait a minute, you know, and she chases after him and then he gets caught up in this thick webby tree and there's Abby and she's all wrapped in web. Like she's being saved for a spider's dinner or something.
Right.
Like
yeah. It's exactly what I thought. You know what I thought of? Harry Potter.
Really?
When they're with the spiders. Oh,
did you see The Mist?
No.
Oh my God. You have to see
I know
it.
The listeners are going to yell at me. I haven't seen Lost.
Dude,
haven't
that
seen
is
Mist.
Like, yeah, but The Mist is a show. It's just 2 hours and there are three surprises for sure. But,
all right. I'll put it on my list with my wife later. Maybe we'll watch it since we
no,
can't watch
should.
From and
you should,
maybe
and
she'll be nice.
You've got
to
watch
to
every
me.
Face carefully though. There's some big surprises in there.
I can't wait.
Yeah. You can't wait. It's really good. But
anyway, so he's spider food at this point, or his wife's spider food.
Oh, he's about to be spider food. So he turns around to run out and he must have stepped on a nest or something. I don't know if they have nests or whatever. But anyways, all these big blacks, I mean, not even little spiders. They were big black spiders and they're crawling all over him. And I'm just like, you know what? Check, please. I am checking out. There is
Sarah does
no
nothing because she's useless at this point.
Well, she's looking at him. She wasn't standing in the same spot, but you know, she was doing her job. She was screaming.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, she's good at that. She's definitely good at screaming.
That is her job. That's what she was hired to do.
I mean, I love it. Her, and I think she could actually be a important. I mean, she is an important character, but I mean, she could be even more of an important character. But now, at this point,
at this moment,
she's
still
annoying.
She's still bad, Sarah.
Absolutely.
So anyway, he's ripping off his shirt because they're crawling all over him. And there's one on his belly and he pulls it off. And the thing has its chelicerus like buried in him. And he's like, pulls it off. And then Sarah's like, and there's one on the back. And that one's got the chelicerus buried deep in. She pulls that off. And I was just like, ew. But then again, I also saw like sort of special effects because her fingers were really close, like too close to have it around the spider. And I'm like, yep, they put that in, CGI'd that in. But anyway, didn't matter. He had two spider bites and that just kind of sets up what's going on for him for the rest of the time. So at any rate, he's just like, you know.
What I find really interesting about that whole relationship and that whole story arc of the episode is Boyd is the one in control.
Yeah.
He's the level-headed person. As he gets bit, well, I should say, as he goes and sees his wife, he gets bit.
Yeah.
It's like a pendulum, and then all of a sudden, crazy Sarah is actually not so crazy anymore. And
yeah,
and I find that really interesting about this world, because we all have moments of greatness and we all have moments where we cry on our pillow. And yeah. I think that it was really interesting when they're lost, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And she's like, let's go back. And he's like, what direction? We have no idea where we are.
And then he's like, I'm going to go in the direction of the light.
Right. And then that's when all of that stuff happens.
Yeah.
But when he does get sick from the spider bites, he realizes that they're pawns, or he feels like they're pawns in a bigger game. Pawns.
Yeah.
And I find it, you know, really fascinating how, who's in control here? Is it the monsters? Are the monsters another group compared to this another group, the spider control
like,
people?
Like another group, like they're a group.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I mean,
adversaries.
It could be a whole ecosystem. That's my point.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows what's going to happen? And that's what makes it so great. But I did love that balance where there was a point where Boyd was out of control and Sarah was level headed. And I equate this to, I had surgery years ago and I told my wife, I'm going to get to a point where I can't make decisions, and whatever you tell me, I'm going to do. And I still specifically remember, because I was hurting and I didn't know, I'm like, honey, what am I doing? And she made the decision and we went on. And it's kind of like that situation. I mean, as strong and as smart. And the one thing that I found fascinating also, which I think you forgot to mention, is Sarah called him by his nickname. Mr. Fish and Lowe's.
Oh, Mr. Fish and Lowe's. Yeah.
And that's how he got into that. What I also found really fascinating was this is the first time that she said that it was a her.
No. She said last week it was a
her. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's what it was. She said last week that it was a her. But it's just kind of an interesting piece. They give you just enough to make you want more.
And then some. But, you know, she had said Mr. Fish and Loaves last week.
Right.
And he didn't say anything. But then this week she says it again, because she's worried that whoever they find doesn't want help. Like, when he's hearing the voice, when he's hearing the voice.
And she's not stupid. I mean, she's like, so the only two people that knew that were your wife and your son.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And so then she's wondering if the voice that she heard, the female voice, could be Abby.
Right.
Because how else, you know, would it be the fish and loaves? But it could have been the same thing as when she told Father Khatri about the candy box. So they give them a piece of validating information so that when she puts it out there, they buy into it.
But,
you know,
stick this into your hat. A couple of episodes before, the monster said, we know everything.
Yeah.
So having them know that he's Mr. Fish and Loaves isn't a big stretch if they know everybody's name, they know everybody's what's going on.
Yeah.
It takes it to a different level, that's for sure.
Wait a minute. I don't think they said we know everything. We know everybody's name.
We know everybody's name. We know what everybody does. They said something along those lines, and you have to look back. If you go back to the scene, I know exactly which scene it was. It was the scene when he opened up the window at the party and the girl, sweater girl that died, she's like, we know, how did you know my name? We know everything. And we know everyone. Now, listeners, if I am wrong, I know I'll hear from you, but
or
it sounds like a good story either way.
I'm pretty sure she just said, we know everybody's name. But at any rate,
and that's his name. So,
that's his name. So, you know, she wants to look at the spider bites, but he doesn't want to show her. He's being Boyd, you know,
like he's being a man.
Annoying. Well, and he's also trying to keep her in the prisoner place.
True. You know, he's trying to be the alpha male.
Yeah, because like that's the way to ingratiate herself so she can escape. But she's not trying to escape. Her hands aren't even tied anymore. She's in this with him. So they realize that there's a storm coming, and she's like, hey, Boyd, you know, he's starting to break down. She's like, we got to keep moving. We got to keep moving. And, you know, when he's getting sick, and she says, look, we need to keep moving to the light. You're the one that wanted to go in this direction. We need to keep moving to the light. And she said, if you don't cooperate, you're never going to see Ellis again. And that's what gets him moving.
Yes, and it does.
So then they hear the horn. And why do I have, oh, Sarah's like, you know, keeping pushing, why can't I speak all of a sudden? She just keeps pushing Boyd, you know, saying we're almost there. And they're like climbing up this incline, like this rocky incline. And then like the rain comes, and it's not just, you know, a light, friendly rain. It is downpour rain. Like it was downpouring like this a couple of days ago here. Like we've just had a lot of rain. And so the thing about it is that this storm that comes in, it darkens the sky. And it made me wonder, like it was like in the afternoon when the storm is coming in, like they still have plenty of daylight. But, you know, one of those storms where the clouds are so thick and they're so dark, they blot out the sun and then the sky is just dark. It's just, you know,
yeah,
it's darker out. And it made me wonder if the monsters, A, would come out like that, because it would be earlier in the day. And then B, do they go out in the rain, or do they just hide out, you know? So I feel like, you know, Boyd's on the point of collapsing. He's weak from these two spider bites. So it makes me wonder, you know, what kind of venom or poison they've shot into him. But they notice a lighthouse. So it's all of a sudden there's the beacon of the lighthouse, and they have a direction to go. And the lighthouse looks like it's on a rocky cliff.
Yes.
They show it really quick. And he's trying to tell her, just go on, just leave me, you know, because it is getting later in the day. And he can't move. They still need to find a place to hide. And she's like, I am not leaving you. And then all of a sudden, there's the boy in white.
Yes.
And we've never seen him with Boyd or Sarah, anyone other than Victor or Ethan.
True.
You know, he's just been, that's where he's been. So the boy in white is just watching, and then he starts speaking, and you hear him say, Sarah, look up. So I don't think Boyd hears the boy.
No.
But she does. And she doesn't say that this is a voice that she's been hearing all along, because she specifically said the voice is now female. We know that the other voice is a male. But is it this male? One would think, based on the sound of the boy's voice, she would say it's a boy's voice, but she hasn't said that. And he speaks to her without even moving his mouth. And he says, Nathan was right about this place. It's angry now. You have to get inside. And then he points, and then he says, over there, you'll be safe in there. And he's pointing at a faraway tree.
Yep.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give Alex the picture of my faraway tree that I took so that he can post it with this week's episode. But anyway, she's got the horrible job, the difficult job of getting Boyd over to this tree and then convincing him to go inside. But he's so kind of out of it, he's not really fighting her. She manages to get him into the tree. He still has some reason in him when she's like, get in the tree. I'm coming in right after you. We will be safe in here, you know? So she gets him in the tree, and the last thing that she heard, the last thing that he hears is, "I'll be right behind."
Yep.
So she went one place, he went another. We don't know where she goes, but where does he go?
He goes in a very tight situation.
Yeah.
That was a little claustrophobic.
Yeah, I would not like that.
And, you know, I was thinking about that situation and I'm thinking, well, if he uses his back and his legs, maybe he can push himself up.
He probably can. They don't show what's up or whether it's just goes on forever.
True.
And I can picture this little thing on set where they've built this little shaft and they've lowered him in and then they'll pull him out, you know, but it's these paved stones and it's perfectly square and it's just big enough for him to stand in. There's no sitting. There's no relaxing.
Oh yeah. No, it's total claustrophobic / coffin. I was thinking of Interview with a Vampire at the end when Christian Dunst gets burned and
Armand gets bricked in.
Oh, that was just awful.
I can't wait for the new AMC show on that.
Yes.
They're at San Diego Comic-Con this weekend.
Oh,
Wait, I cannot wait. I loved Anne Rice. I love that book.
It's going to be awesome. Yes. But yeah, I mean, I know we took their whole story and the first point, and it's an important storyline, but it's not as important as, or I should say, it doesn't have as much juicy facts as the rest of the episode.
No, so, it's like, it's just creepy with the spiders and stuff like that. And I think the main thing is that they show us the boy in white. He has this weird thing with Abby, and she and Sarah knows about fish and loaves, but it's almost like they've got him saved in a spot. We can't move him to the next piece in the quest. So we're going to put him right here, or maybe he's not meant to go on further in the quest. So he is going to be in this holding pattern right here, because all the times we've seen someone go into a faraway tree, we've never seen them land in something like this.
True.
And we don't know where Sarah ends up. We have no idea. It's just, "I'll be right behind," and that's it. And I'm like, "Oh my God." And you know, like, he's in one total different place and she is in another.
It'll be interesting to see how the boy in white, what's his restrictions? Like, what's his kryptonite, so to speak? Are there areas that he can't go in? Are there areas that he can go in? You know,
does he have to be in the woods?
Does he always have to be in the wood? Yeah.
No, that's not true, because he was between the houses and stuff.
Well, wasn't he also in the tunnel with Victor at the end? No, he wasn't. Victor just told him to go. It's interesting how it'll be fun to see what his limitations are.
Yeah.
And how what his relationship to the monsters are. It's a good question, but we're not getting the answer today. I just think that it just sets up nice for season two on that point.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, two characters, we know how they end this season, sort of.
Two and a half with the boy in white.
Yeah, the boy in white. So the boy in white shows up and saves those two, which, like, if you think about it, you know, white is the good guy color, we hope. Right? And so far, we haven't noticed him to be malignant in any way, and he actually helped Sarah and Boyd, but he also... it could have been a strategic move to put Boyd someplace like in a holding or separate the two of them and get Sarah to where these voices are. Yeah. So, all right. So we know Boyd is in a rocky shaft and then Sarah is right behind. So wherever right behind is. So our next point we wanted to talk about is Kenny and Christy.
Oh,
and I know. And they make such a good couple. I love them.
And
together.
Kenny is just so innocent. Oh. He is every 15-year-old trying to ask a girl out.
Yeah. And you know what? He could have been there for like 5 years. Because if you ever look at his pants,
yep.
he's got a couple years growth in those pants. It's funny how his like waist and butt have not changed, but he's just grown up. He's grown taller. And the pants aren't like super baggy or super tight or anything.
Well, it
like
doesn't
that.
Help that the actor is a professional martial artist.
And oh, is he?
Yeah, yeah. Ricky, he is just, he's unbelievable. He's a Canadian actor, uh-huh. but he's also very much into martial arts. And yeah, he's been in shape his whole life. But yeah, he's got no ass.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean,
but I just love their little cat and mouse.
Yeah. And they've got something there. Like you want to see them get together, you know? And so they
have their conversation in the ambulance.
Office. Oh, in the ambulance. Yeah. Cause he shows up with his globe lamp. And the thing is like one of the jobs of this episode is that they figured out how to get the electricity.
Well, so Jade did. Jade figured it out because of Mrs. Lou. Yes, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But the bottom line is everybody's getting their lights together, and he's got his lamp that was in his car, and his lamp. For those of you that haven't seen the episode, and I don't know why you'd be listening to this if you hadn't, but
so they don't have to.
Well, I know it's just the dulcet tones of the Queen of From, but this lamp has a globe in it that splits in half. And when he got there, he wrote down some of the favorite places that he wanted to go on, of course, a drugstore receipt, which is like five CBS. Miles long. CBS. Yeah. I thought it was CBS. CBS and you know, some of the places that they talked about was Iceland. Yeah. And then he starts getting mushy and he's like, oh, well, you know, we get out of here. Let's go to Iceland. And then it was like, wah, 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 wah. And
he has to come clean.
Well, Christy's just like, well, you know, I was engaged to a woman and I really like you. But if this works out, what are we going to do? And of course, Kenny, the shy slash upstanding deputy that he is, he sticks his head between his legs and walks away.
Yeah. I think he was just embarrassed for putting himself out there. And actually, like, I was just thinking, I'm like, he was in college because he said something about having that lamp on his desk in college, right?
Correct.
And he would hide things from his roommate in there. And that's how, you know, putting anything in there started. But I mean, it's awkward. You put yourself out there and then you get rejected in such a definitive way. Like, I'm engaged. Bah!
And he knew that already, but it was just kind of like,
yeah. Like, I mean, I think it was just as tough for her to say as it was for him to hear. It's not like we've seen a lot going on between them. They've been affectionate in a friendly way. And we've all as viewers been like, hey, you know, I'd like to see these two characters get together and see what's up. But we knew a couple of episodes back that she was engaged when she was back in Michigan. So, you know, it just, I mean, how much dating experience can Kenny possibly have in this little town? Who's he going to date?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say none.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But then wait. Then you've got the other youngster. I'm just going to throw this out there. The other youngster that's sort of his age, and he's like Rico Suave.
Who?
Boyd's son.
Oh, Boyd's. Yeah. Well, I mean,
Ellis is kind of like, you know, I mean, I'm just saying the pendulum does go both ways. But, you know, the good guy always sometimes finishes last for being the good guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
they always like the bad boys.
He awkwardly goes to the ambulance where she's stripping out the wires and they chat, you know, this is where she tells him and, you know, that all this is going on. And then he runs off with the wires to go up to Colony House. And so later on, she sees him and she's like, look, you know, I think we need to talk a little bit. And she doesn't know what to do and is freaked out about going back to Michigan. And he apologizes for weirding out, which I think is, you know, sweet, because I think he wants the friendship, but he also wants to come across as mature. I mean, this guy is supposed to be the sheriff now, right? So they're talking about it, and she's saying, you know, part of me wants to go back to Michigan and find out if she's still waiting for me. But the other part wants to go to Iceland with you. And then he asks her, what are you going to do? And she's like, I don't know.
And that's the question that is a thread throughout the whole entire show.
Meaning
this: life before, during, and after From.
Right.
And one of the criticisms that I have of this episode is they don't know if this thing is going to work.
Yeah.
And everybody is like all or nothing. But yeah. I look at, they could get in contact with somebody. Great. That doesn't mean they're getting out.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I look at Star Trek Voyager, which is one of my favorite Star Trek shows, whatever. And it took them how many years? They finally get close and they just talk just to make sure everybody tells them that we're alive. And that's my point, is they're all like this all or nothing thing. And that really bothered me.
But they are living every day as all or nothing. Every day. That is their every day. All or nothing. We're either going to live or we're going to die. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's either black or red every day.
I guess I just had a problem with the fact that, you know, Donna's like, if this doesn't work, everybody's going to get crushed. And I understand that. But there's a lot between it's not going to work and they have steps getting closer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to work or they're out. I mean, I equate it to your cell phone. You turn on a new cell phone, you can't work it. What's the first thing you say? It's a piece of shit. No, it's not. And then when you go and return it, you know, turn it in, you're like, oh my God, I can't live without it. It's the same type of thing. You got to get used to the situation, and there's a lot of baby steps. But I mean, my criticism, when I say it's a criticism, it's like such a minute thing compared to the whole episode. It's just, you want to take a piece of wood and just say, guys, knock your head, you know, stop. But stop.
Kenny, stop.
Yeah. All right. So where are we with this? So Christy tells.
They just leave it with, I don't know.
Exactly.
She doesn't know what she's going to do. And the thing is, she doesn't have to make a decision until she's faced with having to make a decision.
And why should she make a decision?
She doesn't have to. Like, it's wasted brain fuel.
Hey, listen, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, if they want to play house, let them play house. If they want to play boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever the heck they want to do, let them do it, because nobody, there's no rules.
Yeah.
Other than
being by dark.
But, you know, I'm going to go on a little sidetrack here, because I want to talk about the other couple that had a relationship issue in a positive way. And you've got Ellis and Fatima, where Ellis is at a point where he's only been there for X amount of years or months or whatever it is.
I think it's more like months.
Yeah. And he's got Fatima, and, you know, she was in a situation.
Wait a minute. Back up. It's more than a month. because she's been there for a year.
So he's got to been there years.
He was there before her. Right. So, yeah.
So he's been there for years. They have that conversation about her life before From, which was not exactly the best situation. And now all they know is each other. They love each other. So what does the guy do? He takes him to the spot where he first saw her. I mean, how amazing is that? And
it was sort of.
It was more than sort of. He has his mom.
It was the whole, I saw you driving around for hours.
Right.
And you couldn't stop her.
And he has his mom's ring, I think.
No,
and he proposes.
It was wire.
Oh, it was the wire.
He had wire.
But, you know, the best.
But that was of the moment. And that's what made that romantic.
Oh, and the first words out of Fatima's mouth. And this is what I love about her. She's always about making everybody happy. The first words out of her mouth is, I bet your dad's going to be so happy.
Yeah.
And, you know,
she thought of his father. And the thing was, like, you know, he asked her to marry him. And the whole time, you know, she's standing there, he's down on one knee. So she knows or has a pretty good guess at what's coming. And she's just looking at him. And I can't imagine for a guy that doesn't really know what the answer is. And or is really hoping that they didn't gauge this wrong and that the answer is yes. And she's just looking at him and she's not giving him anything. Like, we're looking at her. She's not giving us anything. But she says yes. And I wanted to cry a little bit. And I was just thinking, I'm like, she's kind of a free spirit. She's happy-go-lucky in this horrible place. But she said, he's my person.
That was it.
You know, like,
he's her lobster.
Yep.
And I just remember when I proposed to my wife, it was like one of the worst days we ever had. We got in a huge fight all day. And, you know,
was that how you were digging yourself out?
Yeah. No, we wanted to go out. It was actually, this is actually a great story. It was Thanksgiving Eve. The year before we went to see the balloons in New York City.
Uh-huh.
For the Thanksgiving Day parade. So I'm like, let's go do that. Okay. So she comes home from work. I'm tired. She's cranky. Okay. Let's go to the movies. She was bitching and moaning. If there was knife play, if there was knives on the table, there would have been knife play.
Yeah.
Everything I asked her, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So we finally go and it's like, you know, we go to the movies. It's an awful movie. It's like 10 o'clock at night. Go to a park. With a little light, ask her to marry me. Of course, she says yes. And the rest is history. But it was just like, it was certainly not like this. I'll tell you that. It wasn't as beautiful as this.
That was really nice.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like, I was kind of hoping she would say yes. And thankfully she did. We had been dating for a while and, you know, we were talking about it. I mean, it was a little bit of a surprise, I think, but not.
Yeah.
I just didn't think we weren't planning to do it. Like, I don't think she was thinking that I was going to do it that day. Of course, my whole family does it and, you know, knew I was going to do it. And it was just.
Was it planned for that day all along?
Yeah, I planned it.
Oh my God. And then you guys were in grouchy moods.
Oh no, she was like miserable because it was the last day of school before Monday. And she just didn't want to deal with anything.
You know, when you want to have a quiet night
and it turns into
relax.
Yeah. But you know what? Once you got the ring, everybody was happy and tears. And
now my life is decided.
Well,
I know where
it's
going.
Something
I can check a different box.
Oh, please. but back to our famous couple.
Yeah.
I mean, they know how to do it right. And their love is strong.
It was so sweet. It was almost like a happy show at that moment, wasn't it?
Well, it reminds me of The Notebook.
Yeah. Yeah. It was The Notebook inside From.
Yeah. Next week on From
The Notebook.
The Notebook.
Like, he walks her out just past the greenhouse and he's standing and he's like, this spot right here, this is where I first saw you. And she's like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And it just bothered me when he said, I watched you drive in circles for hours. And I was thinking about, you know, everybody's commitment to letting people figure it out.
Right.
And, you know, she's the one I was talking about the cars last week. And right. He's like, she's the one that had the Volkswagen Bug that didn't have its tires blown out yet. Yet.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they get to a point and they just blow people's tires out. And it's probably when they have to get them inside or else they'll die.
Right.
But I don't think they blew out Boyd's tires when they came into town.
Well, I didn't really have a choice because they're like, you need to run.
You need to get in the house real quick.
You need to run and you need to run really quick because the people are coming.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we've nailed that one shut. Let's talk about Jade.
Is it time?
So, yeah, it is that time.
Our favorite.
Dude, I want the Jade show. Like,
oh my God.
I love him. Like, I can't, you know what it is? Like, I think I tolerated him when I was alone by myself, but discussing him with you, I just see the nuanced beauty of Jade.
He is every asshole that you love to love.
Oh my God, I love him. I mean, did you see his shirt? He had cats all over his shirt.
But the best part is, so he comes in to the show this week. And he goes into the Matthews house and
he knocked on the door.
I know you have to say that
he
again.
Just busted.
Right. He knocks on the door and he's got his little lamp.
Yeah.
And he makes the whole thing about the hair dryer.
Yeah.
Because he figured it out thanks to Mrs. Lou. And then he's like, after he figures it all out, what does he say? Good answer, teacup.
Yeah. So the teacup legend starts.
But the best part about it is when teacup's daughter steps up to the plate and she's like, dude, enough.
Yeah.
And I love his response. Oh, I guess we're doing this whole sticking up for the family type thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a thing.
Like it's a shtick.
Exactly. And he's just so great. And as great as he was in that moment, he ripped our heart out. He ripped my heart out when he was with Mrs. Lou.
Okay. But all right. So let's pause that right now for a minute. All right.
Okay.
I really want to dive deep in that, but I want to laugh first.
Okay.
So, but don't forget, he tells Julie he's going to call her spark plug now.
Oh yes. I forgot the spark plug.
No more teacup, but you are spark plug. But oh God, he's so, I don't know. So he's up at the house while everyone up at Colony House while everyone's working to get the towers up and stuff like that. And he decides right then and there he's got to leave.
Oh, I know.
And he starts making up an excuse because Jim's like, well, what's up? Where are you going? And then he gets on the bike. And I had to rewind this a couple of times because I thought it looked hysterical. It sounded hysterical. It was perfect. And it was something I wish I could have seen them film because I would have just soaked that one right up because some scenes are amazing to watch when they are getting filmed. And he says to Jim, I know how offensive you find my proclivities. And he's got his head turned all the way around, screaming back at Jim.
I know.
Riding the bike down the hill, the bike he stole from Kerchief Girl.
Right. I know. Well, one of the things that I think why he did that was I think he's an idea guy.
Yeah.
And he's not the nuts and bolts guy.
Yeah.
And now it's getting down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
And he's getting a little freaked.
Yeah.
And so he's got to either shit or get off the pot. And he decided to get off the pot in his own unique way.
Yeah. And I, it's like, I think he can only take too much pressure. He needed a break. He needed to slow his mind down, I think is what it was. You know, like he's got Jim over there who's intense and is getting this stuff done and he's directing everybody. You know, he's the conductor on the ground, you know, and, you know, when he rides out, he's like, he calls Jim dad.
Oh, I know. You know? I know. I love it.
And so we find out when he gets back to Kenny and Mrs. Lou's house, just exactly why he would have called Jim dad.
Right.
So this is the point you wanted to make.
Well, you know, that was an emotional scene for a bunch of reasons.
It was extremely emotional.
And you can walk everybody through it, but you know, grief is an amazing thing when it comes to how people grieve, the way cultures grieve, and how you get to a certain place. Now, for Mrs. Lou, you know, they have a shrine to the husband and the candles, and she does her praying, and it's very respectful. And
well, it's their culture.
It's a culture. No, I'm saying it's very respectful to everything. And you look at a person like Jade, where he basically lives now with no rules.
Yeah. Jade rules, which are
Just saying he's
no rules. Yeah.
I mean, in his own world. And we come to find that he was brought up in France.
Yeah. So
You can continue.
Okay. So he comes in while she's grieving. And, you know, I think she finds her quiet moments where when she can. Like, the thing is, with Bing John, we didn't really get a chance to get attached to this guy. You know, we're coming in. There's this guy kind of out of it, not with it. And he's staying over in the hospital. And then we find out that's Kenny's dad. And then, you know, we've got Kenny's mom, and they were a family, and possibly a family when they arrived. We don't know how long exactly. If he was at least in his freshman year of college, maybe his parents were coming to, you know, they were coming back cross country after picking him up after his freshman year.
Real?
You know, I would think that his dad hadn't lost it or descended into dementia that soon, but could have been, you know, could have been Alzheimer's.
He could
whatever.
Be a senior now.
Yeah. Or maybe he was a much older man when Mrs. Lou married him.
True. You know?
So we kind of like, we never get a sense of the relationship between Mrs. Lou and Bing. We don't even know if Mrs. Lou has a first name at this point, because it's always Mrs. Lou. But at any rate, she's mourning the loss of her husband, and in comes Jade, who is generally insensitive to others, you know, but he has developed a relationship
or with a respect, this woman. A respect for her position as a mother, her position as what she does in the town.
Yeah.
And
he responds to her as if she's his mother,
because that's what he's needing.
Yeah. He needs a mom. And we find out like some information about him, you know, and he comes in and he tells this story that we find out in the end is meant to comfort her. And he says, you know, we might be going home. And then her response is not very excited about that. And he just jumps into the story. You know, I grew up in France with my grandmother. and she died when I was 12, and I had to move back to the US and live with my uncle. When I flew home, I had to fly by myself because there was nobody. There was no one to fly with me. And so he was waiting in the airport, and he didn't want to leave France because he didn't want to leave his grandmother there alone, even though she was dead.
I understand that.
Yeah. And so this woman comforts him, and she buys him a soda. And she says, look, just because you're leaving her, you're not leaving her behind. They come with you when you go. And so he looks at her and he's saying, you know, try not to be sad and don't feel guilty, because he'll come with you when you go. And this is the most sensitive, caring thing that he has said. And it would be sensitive and caring by anyone's standards, but given who he is as a person, it's just that much more meaningful.
Yes, absolutely.
And it shows an attachment between them. You know, like last episode when she's screaming at him to go down and have dinner.
Yeah.
He's like, she says it all in Cantonese, and he's like, and he responds to her in Cantonese, you know, that he's going, you know, and you get it. Like, he's a teenage boy that just wants to lay in his bed and just geek out over a magazine or whatever he's doing. Right. And she's like, I made dinner. You're going down there. You're going to put on a shirt, and you're going to sit at that table, and you're going to eat that dinner that I made.
Absolutely.
And he's just like, all right, fine. And just goes down there, you know? But the thing is, especially after this story, you know that there really hasn't been anyone caring about him, really caring for him, since he was 12 years old.
And when you have a bunch of yes men in your life,
yeah,
you really thirst for that person that's going to tell you how it is.
Yeah.
Tell you how it is.
Yep.
And
exactly.
There's a lot of people like that out there.
Yeah.
You know, in different situations.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like looking for that mentor, that person that will set you straight.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like, every time they have the award shows and all the ladies show up in these amazing gowns, right? There's always a couple where you're just like, what were you going for with this look? You know, they hired a stylist, and probably everyone stood around and said, oh, babe, you are fire. You know, this is going to get so much buzz and blah, blah, blah. And it's not necessarily the buzz that you want. You don't want to end up on the worst dress list. I'd rather not be mentioned.
Yeah, right.
But just be like, blah, than end up on the worst dress list.
You know, they have become a family.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Kenny, him, his mom, they really are a unit. They're a little dysfunctional, yeah. But who isn't dysfunctional in this world?
But it works. And so at the end of this little conversation, when she's like, oh my God, he gets me. He knows what I'm worrying about. She asks him if he will pray with her. And Jade, who never has time for anyone but himself, kneels with her and prays.
Yep.
Like, he gave her that honor because she gave him that honor. So it was amazing. Amazing. And he did it with kittens on his shirt.
Of course. But then after all that wonderful moment that you're about to cry, he comes back with snacks.
Yeah, to the house, the quality house. Yeah. And he comes with Mrs. Lou.
Right. And he's got baskets, and he's got coolers. And then he's like, Donna, I mean, I Donna's always a favorite.
I don't think he knew who he was talking to.
And then he's like going up the stairs. He's ringing the bell and she's like, don't do that. Don't do that. And I mean, just
he was so happy.
But I love the extremes with him.
Yeah. And he didn't even smoke a doobie.
I know.
He was so happy. Like, I think he was going to home to, you know, back to the house to get grounded.
Right.
And just kind of calm his mind down. All he needed was to have.
Oh, yeah. He said he had to go for one of his cigarette papers. And it's his last one.
His last rolling paper.
But see,
and that's when he's like screaming about his proclivities.
You know, I know he does a lot of scary stuff. Looking at his IMDb, but yeah. I hope he ends up finding like not that this is a show, but I'm saying like he gets his Ted Lasso moment where he can find a show where he can be part of it, whether he's the second or the straight man or whatever it is, because he needs to be doing
some comedy,
something, another show as well.
Yeah.
Like he's too good not to.
I want to see him in a rom-com.
Absolutely. God, he's like the crazy guy that, you know, whatever. But David is one of my favorites. So his real name, David, but Jade is the best part of, it's not the best part of the show.
They are all the best part of
but
the show.
I look forward to see what situation what he's gonna they do, put him
in. I love how they write him.
As a, you know, from a character that went from the most annoying in the world to now my favorite.
Hated him. Yeah. We hated him. Hated him from moment one. It was like, how could you be so selfish?
So where do you want to go from here, kiddo?
Well, the next thing is going back to Colony House for the whole purpose of everything.
Oh, geez. So, yeah, this is fun.
Yeah. So this is a little bit involved. We're going to start with Tabitha and we're going to end with Tabitha. And we're going to do some stuff in the middle.
Absolutely. So, it's a Tabitha sandwich.
Yes, exactly. So the thing is, like, we don't get a ton of Tabitha in this episode, but what we get is
the most important stuff.
Yeah. So she shows up over at Tom's bar and it looks like they are in a shed, you know, possibly right, you know, with where the bar is or whatever. And there she's looking for stuff. But I think what it is she went in and told him she needed a pickaxe. She told him what she was doing. Because he opens the shed and he doesn't believe the entire idea of this radio thing will work. And she's like, why not? You know, and he's like, you know what? People have tried to get out of here. We don't know how long he's been there, but from what he said, it kind of alludes to him having been there for a while. And he says,
I was going to say long enough to know that what you're going about to say, which is people have tried to do this a long time. And you know what they are? They're still back here.
And they end up in the bar with me. They don't go home. They're in the bar. So basically, I think she spilled the reason why she wanted the pickaxe, because any woman walking into someone else's shed and walking out happy with a pickaxe, they're doing one of two things. They're going to go home and take care of that husband, or they're going to dig for electricity. Those are the only two things a woman needs a pickaxe for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I ain't got no husband. So guess what I'm doing? Well, anyway, so we put that, there's one slice of bread right there. So let's go up to Colony House where they've finally gotten the tower up on the roof of Colony House. They've got the wire going up to the tower for the, you know, the signal to go out. And, Jim has shown Ethan,
he's shown him how to do the frequencies.
How to do the frequencies. And I thought that was really cool. I mean, talk about an engineer science dad, you know, spending a moment with his son, teaching him something. But basically, every time you move down the wire, that's wrapped around this cylinder, you're going to come to a different frequency. So I'm not, you know, I don't know exactly how it works. Now I want to know how it works, but that's how this radio is going to work. So they've got, you know, like probably like a piece of metal that, you know, there's electricity flowing between, or it's activated in some way, and they get the frequencies. So the tower goes up, everyone runs into the house to man their stations, and on his signal, they turn on the lights. So that sends the power up through the tower to get the signal out. And so that's when he starts going through the frequencies, and he's saying, "Mayday, mayday, you know, we need help, blah, blah, blah." And he waits for a second.
But what's happening outside along when that happens?
Well, hold on. He does that like three times. And then Kerchief Girl, who's up on the roof, she looks off to the distance and she's like, "A storm's coming in. Look out there." And it's like, it looks like your background right now. You probably can't see it, but
no, I can see it. It's the Northern Lights, but yeah.
The storm's rolling in, Alex.
The storm's rolling in.
Yeah. So then Donna is like, "We got to move all this stuff inside. You know, we're going to get hurt out here. The winds are kicking up, and you know, you're running." And he's like, I can't. But he decides to send Ethan in the house. And so she takes over for him.
Yeah, Donna tells her to take Ethan in the house.
Yeah.
She'll take over.
She takes over for Ethan, and he's working the frequencies while Jim is working the actual radio. And they put Dale's umbrella that was formerly on the top of the RV in The Walking Dead, and they put that umbrella over the radio.
That's funny.
From the rain. Yeah.
Because it's all about The Walking Dead in the show.
Yeah, it is all about The Walking Dead. So there's always shades of Walking Dead and everything, right? So anyway, he sends out the fourth SOS, and that's when he gets a response.
Voice
comes back and it says, "Is this Jim? Yeah, Jim Matthews?" And he says his wife shouldn't be digging in the hole. And did the voice sound familiar to you?
Not really, but
I think it was Tom.
What?
I think it was Tom.
Okay.
All right. Yep. Alex doesn't even know what to say.
No, I mean...
I think it was Tom. I mean, it's either that or one of the monsters is up during the day and knows everybody's name. So it's either creepy monster we hate, or
it's Tom,
like Tic Tac guy, or it's Tom.
I didn't even ever think that it would have been Tom, but that's why we have a podcast.
He wasn't up there.
He was not up there.
Because remember, Tabitha asked him, "You going up there?" And he's like, "What's the point? They're going to end up in my bar anyway." You know? But
can you explain the weather then?
What, that Tom brought the weather in?
No, I know. I'm saying, I know Tom can't bring the weather in, but...
Yeah. It's, you know, it's odd because the weather has been perfect every day.
That's my point. It's like... Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this day?
Yeah, it seems like...
But think
like,
about this, right? Like, this is Truman Show stuff.
Right.
They don't want him to leave, so we're going to put every obstacle we can.
That's what I mean. Right. No, that's what I meant is it's Truman Show stuff. That's why it's Tom.
That's why... What if Tom...
Tom's behind it all.
Well, or... Maybe he's brokered some kind of deal that he's never going to be attacked in exchange. Because look, they've already made something, has made contact with Sarah and is in conversation with Sarah, right? Who's to say she's the only one?
True. And they're not saying.
And the thing is, like, maybe there's one faction that's communicating with Sarah, but maybe there's a whole other faction that's communicating with Tom.
True.
But the other thing is, remember, this town provides things to them. Or things are provided. They've got goats, chickens, and cows, right? They've got electricity that comes from nowhere, seemingly, right?
Right.
And then they get these talismans. Too many of them are getting killed off. So they bring Boyd in, who they know is Mr. Fish and Loaves, who's going to bring some organization to this town and make changes and differences. Like, it's very orchestrated. Maybe that's what O stands for, orchestration. Oh, that's a story for another time.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Dun,
so
dun, dun.
Jim rightfully freaks out because he's like, who is this? And how do they know what my wife is doing? Right. So it is like Forrest Gump brain coming straight down and jumping back up. Right. And he's running through town, and he gets in the house. Right. But we've got, I want to call her Laura, but her name isn't Laura. It's Tabitha, is down in her hole. And remember at the beginning of the episode, or was it the end of the last one? I think it was the end of the last one.
She hit something
hard. Right. So she needs something to get through the hole, that hard thing. So she gets the pickaxe. She swings. There's a crack and it just splits open. She's hanging for a minute and then she finds herself below it.
Right.
And if you notice the red, black, and the thicker cable, they were not connected to anything underneath. So they were going in through that floor level. And then they're just hanging. They're not connected to anything. And she's lying there and she's rubbing her arm. So she must have fallen like on her upper shoulder, upper arm type thing. Either that or she just got a Moderna shot. And she's just like, oh my God, that hurts. But at any rate, one of the reasons why we couldn't record was because, or sooner, was I got the Moderna shot. And that took a week. But anyway, she looks up and she sees the wire hanging with no connection and the light is still on. And then all of a sudden this circle light that's coming out of the darkness, and behind that light is Victor. Of all people, it's Victor.
Who everybody's been looking for, but most of all Jade.
Yeah. But like, he went in to the faraway tree with Ethan. And Ethan went one location. Apparently, Victor ended up someplace where he ended up here.
Well, that's where they want him to be. And, you know, Ethan, of course, I think is the smartest person in From, because he keeps saying it's a quest.
It's a quest. And you can't ignore that kind of stuff.
Because, like, yeah, I mean,
there's something in that. Like, they're not going to put this. Like, I think I've said it, you've said it, this is like making up for everything that Lost didn't live up to. And so someone saying it's a quest, there's bearings to that. That means something. It's not wasted.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, he's got to, everybody's got to play their part. And that's the main thing. Everybody's got to play their part.
And Ethan says that, you know, because someone's like, where's Victor? And he's like, he's doing his part of the quest. So
what we do find out, though, is that that's where the monsters live.
Well, they sleep there.
Right.
So they must sleep there during the day. Yeah. It makes me wonder, you know, what Victor does when they rise. But the weird thing is they come in through the woods, but this is in the town. Like, this is right underneath their house in the town.
Exactly. So and maybe they have a little passageway. Maybe they come through the...
Yeah, maybe the exit entrance is in the woods.
Who knows? We'll find out.
Maybe. Maybe we'll find out. But anyway, he said he told me that you would come.
Right.
And so she's like, who? And he's like, the boy in white. She doesn't know who the boy in white is. She has no idea who that is.
But Victor also doesn't like have any concept of what people know and don't know. He's just in the world.
Yeah, he's just in the world. And so he's like, well, you've got to go. It's not safe down here because this is where they sleep. And then he pauses and he says, and they draw too. So then he shows her the drawings on the wall, which is reminiscent of cavemen drawings to some extent. And what they have there is they've got the symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And underneath that, there's a bunch of stick people. And then there's this big red monster
and black.
And it's drawn in lines, like red lines with black. Right. And then there's two little people next to that monster. And then there's that weird kind of it's like a long line and then an E coming off of it.
Right.
And so, you know, they've been drawing stuff. I mean, that's just what we see. We don't know if there's more, but there were some more. There was like a slatted house, which I think might be the slatted house building that was out in the woods. And there was other stuff there. So the area caves in and they leave. And this is when Jim comes in the house and sees the big hole in the dining room. And it goes straight down into the hole down below. And so that's where Tabitha and Victor and Jim end.
Right.
And then everyone else is up at Colony House. And we have one more very important point to talk about.
Absolutely. And, you know,
it's the last scene.
Exactly. One of the things I do want to do a deep dive with, maybe not obviously next episode or the episode after that or something.
Our episodes, not the show's episodes.
Right. Podcast episodes is I'd love to be able to take the music and break down the music with the Steens and see what that means. I mean, we do a dive on it.
Threads.
Yeah. I mean, there's reasons for all these shows. They don't pick music by accident.
Yeah.
And they pick it for certain reasons. And, you know, it could be one lyric. It could be 1,000 lyrics. But the interesting thing about the last scene is everybody's up at Colony House. Everybody's scattered. All of a sudden, this bus comes. And it just happens to be.
You're jumping ahead, though. You're missing some stuff.
Okay. Okay. Fill it in.
All right. So we start in, it's the diner. And the lights are off. And no one's at the diner. It's just desolate. And it's raining, pouring out. Because everybody is either in a faraway tree, they are in the monster's lair, or they've just walked in to find their wife is missing, right?
Right.
Or they're up at, did I already say Colony House?
Yes.
I might have said that. All right. So no one is at there to greet them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's still pouring out, bouncing up and down rain, right? And it's dark in the diner. And the camera is panning in on the jukebox.
Right.
And the jukebox comes on and the Neil Young song called Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere starts playing. And Neil Young says, I think I'd like to go back home and take it easy. There's a woman that I'd like to get to know living there. I think I'm singing, trying to emulate Bob Dylan with a Neil Young song. But when he says living there, we start to see a bus coming down the street. And the thing is, like, you can look through the window. And when I was first watching the scene today, I'm just writing the words down to the song. And I don't know what made me say, wait a minute, there's more to it. It can't just be this song. So I rewound it and I see the bus and I'm like, oh my God, there's a bus. I completely forgot about this bus. And so
where's the bus from?
Somewhere. I didn't see that.
Are you kidding me?
What? Did you notice it?
Where is our favorite couple girl from?
Michigan? Oh my God, are you saying that her girlfriend is on that bus?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that
that's where it was coming from. I didn't look at the details on the bus.
Yes.
Oh my God. I was just like, huh, it's not a Peter Pan.
It's not a Peter Pan.
Yeah.
No, it's from the same state as Chloe. Yeah, Christy. Her real name's Chloe. Christy's from.
Okay.
Now, well, I'm not saying like, that.
I haven't even gotten to the point where I've started breaking down the actors yet. You're amazing.
I don't remember much, but I remember that. That said, you know, you look at this and it's a great cliffhanger.
It is amazing.
And everybody.
And it's not scary either.
No, none of it was.
It's intriguing. Like, oh my God. So then the next line is everybody seems to wonder what it's like down here. And the bus pulls into the lot. And there's cars. There's a car in the lot. But we know the car is probably broken down with tires blown out, right?
Right.
And there's a car in the lot. And it says, I got to get away from this day-to-day running around. Everybody knows this is nowhere. And the fact that that's the last line as this bus is pulling in. You know, last stop, nowhere, right?
Right.
Like everybody knows this is nowhere. We haven't even talked about, they got a radio signal.
Or did they?
But, well, they still got the signal. We just don't know how far away it was, the respondent was.
I mean, yeah, it could, like you said, it could have been the bartender, Tom, or it could be a Creepy Creepies, or
who knows what it could be. Yeah.
But the fact is, everybody's in a place that we need to find out what's going on.
Right, right. So what are they going to, because like when they go back into the house, into Colony House, the light bulbs start exploding, you know, like they're bursting. And it could have been from overload or whatever, or the electrical storm coming in. It was quite a storm. Like we've been having those kind of storms down here the last couple of weeks. I swear, you would think that it wouldn't rain that often here. It is always raining. Always.
We could use some rain because it's hot as heck here. And
oh, no. It's hot. Don't get me wrong. Like it is hot here. You know, all the time. Before you guys knew what was hot, it was hot here.
It's Africa hot.
Like, yeah, like I could probably, it would take a while because it's still only like 100 degrees. I couldn't bake cookies on the dashboard, but maybe.
You never.
Oh, wait a minute. No, because like if you shut the, when you shut the door and the windows are up, it gets to like 400 degrees. So I could
easy bake oven, easy Toyota button oven.
All right. So now I want to do that. So they leave us in that really interesting spot.
Right.
You know? So for mysteries, we know that they sleep below the ground, or at least I think it's got to be below the ground.
Well, they have some kind of layer, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And they do communicate with each other and they do draw.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got a lot out of that.
And the boy in white, we believe, still is a good guy.
Maybe it's just deceptive. Like maybe he's a good guy for the bad side.
Well, and then we also found out in terms of the creatures there may be more than one bad guy. You know, we've
more
got
than
this,
one type, do you mean?
Yeah, meaning the spider people or whatever's controlling that versus, I mean, because we've never seen another from person be a monster before.
And it wasn't,
you know what I'm saying?
It couldn't have been from the spider bite because the spider bite happened afterwards. But we know the person he's with was hearing voices, but yet, you know, no one else was hearing voices.
Right.
But he's out in the woods and he hears his dead wife calling for help.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I loved that I had forgotten this episode as much as I did because it was awesome to watch and take notes. And
it was a good episode and it put a bow on a great season. Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to right before the new season doing a wrap up, you know, I shouldn't say a wrap up,
just a review,
a recap of what's going on. I do believe
there will be a test.
Yeah, there will be a test. So take your notes.
Yeah.
And I also believe that the character development is on point. I mean, we feel for everybody except for the one older guy that was a pain in the ass.
Who talks all the time.
You know what's funny? When I was doing my research, that's actually Donna's real husband, Elizabeth Sanders' real husband. And I was like laughing at them because I rewatched it. And I'm like, those two are just angry, acting like a bunch of.
Yeah, like they're a good match.
Yeah. And it's funny also because I'm going to jump a little bit ahead, but a lot of the actors are from News from the Sheriff a little bit.
Let's jump into that.
I mean, a lot of the actors are posting lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing, no spoilers, but
yeah.
A lot of the actors are posting, hey, we're here. Hey, we're loving it. And it's just fun to see that kind of buzz.
Yeah.
Hopefully, like I said, hopefully we can get some of them on. If they are listening, we would love to have you on. And
I know. I'd love to have some, you know, some interviews. And it doesn't have to be long, you know, just 10 minutes. Just
top.
What's the grossest
10 questions?
Thing you've done? Yeah.
You know,
well, 10 questions can take a long time. Unless
but you know what I mean.
Like, all right, you're limited to 3-word answers.
No, I'm just saying five questions, whatever. I mean, you know, just getting the basics of the show and whatever. But, you know, if we get Jade, we're going to try to get him as long as we can.
Oh,
and
my God. I would just totally fangirl. I would fangirl over all of them. I would not say anything. You would be on your own. I'd just be over here like with my mouth zipped.
Well, you know, it's funny because the stars are big stars and a lot of character actors, which is great. Like Scott McCormick, you know, he's done a lot of stuff. I mean, he's, you know, everybody's done a Law and Order if you're over the age of a certain age. But my point is, you know, they all have unique stories. And I just love the fact that they're using young actors as well as not as well known actors.
Yeah.
Yes. Harold is the catch.
The anchor, yeah.
But he's not the whole show.
No,
it's not the Harold show by any means.
No.
Now, Jim Matthews. Yeah, it's his show. Pretty famous. Band of Brothers. He's been in a couple other things, character actor, but it's not even just him.
Ignorant, servile bastards.
I mean,
you're still using horses. I was like that. I never got.
But you know, I equate this show, and I know they always equate it.
Thought they were going to take over Europe with horses.
You're right. You know, I know. Lost is an ensemble cast, the same way Walking Dead is. And when you get these ensemble casts, it's really neat that how how they juggle it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's some actors that are probably mad because they don't get enough lines. There's always that because you never have enough lines.
Yeah.
But I, as the viewer, like, I mean, I know we're repeating ourselves, but it's just, it's great to see the balance in everybody. I don't think that there's a storyline that they haven't put a nice bow on.
Well, you know, the thing that I really love about this show, and I've never really, maybe they do this in other shows and I've just never noticed this, is that there's always two, with the exception of very few scenes, it's just going back and forth between two people. You know, you've got Boyd and Sarah, you've got Ethan and Jim, Jim and Jade, Julie and Jade, Tabitha and Tom, Tabitha and Victor, you know, Kenny and Donna, Kenny and Christy, Fatima and Ellis. Then you've got Jade and Mrs. Liu. Like, they tell stories together all the time. And I really, really have enjoyed that. And I've enjoyed picking that piece apart.
Yes, it really has been fun to watch. I mean, you know, some other news or lack of news from the sheriff is, you know, the Emmy nomination did come out. And I'm just looking at the list and it's kind of sad that, you know, none of the people are really up for, I mean, they didn't get really any nominations, but it's one of those shows. And I can't think of another show like this, but there are ones out there, you know, everybody likes it, but they just doesn't get the nominations. I mean, even like Walking Dead
I mean, that was the biggest show at one point
and yet it never got anything.
Yeah. And I don't think that, I mean, it's great to have that notoriety to at least be nominated, and it brings more eyes to your work when that happens, but it's not a definitive indication of whether or not something is good.
No, I get it, but I mean, you know,
but like, it
would be nice.
It's a really, really well done show on not one of the main streamers.
Right.
But the thing is, it doesn't mean that it's going to have to stay that way. This show is so phenomenal that I think by the time season two rolls around, I think that there's going to be enough momentum.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's enough traction, because I'll tell you right now, if it was on AMC or any of the mainstream channels, we'd be.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, AMC comes as part of cable packages. It was easy. It was readily available to people to watch.
Well, that's my point. Yeah, that's my point. Yeah,
where you have to purchase Epics in order to watch this show.
But, you know, to your point, the counter is, you know, a show on AMC doesn't guarantee the eyeballs either.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had a lot of stinkers, just like every other channel,
or just good shows that didn't take off.
Right.
I've been giving it a lot of thought lately too, you know, what am I watching on AMC? I watch The Walking Dead. I watch Fear the Walking Dead. I watch The World Beyond, if you could call that watching. Like,
I love The World Beyond. And I'm going to tell you, it's a very important show in the universe.
Oh, okay.
I think. I mean, the way the zombies are, the CRM, I really believe that it's got more importance than you're making it out. And I understand why you don't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of criticism. Did you watch the last season?
I watched it up to a point, then I stopped. And then later on, I went back and watched. I think I skimmed the episodes that I didn't watch, but I watched
That first season wasn't as good, but no. The last season was a lot of fun, and it made it really good. It was as close to The Walking Dead as they could get without it being The Walking Dead in terms of the characters comparatively to Fear.
I just, you know what? They badly miscast the Iris character that it just made me angry anytime that she was on the screen. And so on the last episode, when her and Hope are, you know, parting ways and Iris is going off to go be badass, I'm just like, if she shows up in any of the other shows, I am going to be pissed.
Well,
especially if she shows up in Rishon.
I will say this, though, without going down a really long rabbit hole, I think we need to get back to... We need to get back to the news from the sheriff, which is...
And I have some news.
Okay, let's hear it, baby.
Well, I saw an article on Facebook today that someone posted about the show finally airing in Europe.
Yay.
And I wasn't thinking, and I lost the post. And then I went scrolling through Google trying to find the news item, and I couldn't. And I was just like, oh my God, these poor people have not been watching From all this time. But then I was like, wait a minute. All right. So they've been denied From, but they're about to get it. And the thing is, when they watch it, they're not going to have to wait as long for the second season to come as we have.
Okay. So I hate them right now. I hate all of Europe.
I hate Europe because they're getting From for the first time.
No, but because they don't have to wait as long.
They don't have to wait as long. But you know what? Hopefully they will find our podcast, which it's not easy to find a podcast for From. There's probably, I'm thinking we're the only one, but there could be 5,000 of them, but I can't find them.
Right.
Because because of the name of the show.
Absolutely.
So, at any rate, so they are going to get From, and I believe the article, what I did see is that they're getting it week by week, like we did. And then, they won't have to wait. Well, you know what the thing is?
They may have
to wait as long because look at how long they had to wait for it now. So there's that. And then I wanted to talk about our contest.
And absolutely. And our poster contest is still in effect. We still are accepting posters.
You still have how many days?
I don't know. 9 days?
I think it's nine
days.
Yes, it would be 9 days. So it is the From Crayon Picture Contest. And we have some rules that you need to follow in order to enter this contest. And I'll tell you, should you win, you are going to be excited about the prize. There's other things included in the prize, but the main two things are Victor's lunchbox and the talisman. And actually, you know what, while I'm sitting here and I have the box next to me, there were some symbols on that wall that the monsters had drawn. And I was like, wait a minute, those symbols are on the talisman. So how can they draw the symbols, but then be warded off by the talisman?
Unless they didn't.
Yeah, unless they didn't. I mean, how does Victor know that they've drawn them? So on the talisman, you've got that E thing, that E looking thing with the long shaft. And then it's like a double-headed ant. I mean, it could be two stick figures. Maybe. I don't even know. But it's got a sun and a moon on it.
So why don't you go over the rules again?
I don't have them in front of me. I got distracted. Sorry.
Okay.
Got distracted. All right. So the rules are you've got to draw a scene from the show. and you can draw any scene you want, but you cannot draw a replica of one of the pictures already on the show. So you can't do any of Ellis's work, and you can't do any of Victor's work. You can't do anybody's work. You've got to have your own work. So pick a scene from the show. I mean, maybe a really cool one would be Abby and the Webs. It's got to be your original work. It must be done only in Crayola crayon. I don't know how we're going to know if it's not Crayola, but basically it's got to be done in crayon. We want it done on an 8.5 by 11 inch paper. Yeah, when you send it to us, I'm not going to know what size the paper is. I'm just trying to have everything uniform. And you can only submit one entry. So if you draw several pictures, pick your best one and send us that. Then you're going to need to submit your entry. You're going to take a photo of your drawing and send it, or scan it and send it to our email. And the email address is the word from, the word epics, the word podcast. So from epicspodcast@gmail.com.
You know, one other thing I want the people to do for this is like and subscribe to the podcast as well.
Yeah, you should do that. That would be nice. Include your full name and your email address in the body of the email. I know I'm going to get your email address on the email, but I just want to have everything in one place, and then include a brief description of the paper, of the picture. So what episode, what scene, what characters are shown in the picture. You need to submit your picture no later than 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on July 31st, 2022. To win, and this actually is subject to change, you'll be judged by a jury of mine and Alex's peers. So I said, when we first talked about this, we are going to get ourselves a celebrity. And you've been doing some work around that, right?
We're trying, but we'll see.
Okay. So we would totally love it if we had someone from to judge us. And I'm thinking, I don't know when the show premieres in Europe, but it would be so awesome if it premiered like right now, and we could get some, what do you call it? Submissions from Europe. So those are the rules, and let's see you join.
Yeah. And hopefully we get a lot of entries. So please send them in so that we can have a whole bunch to look at, and hopefully we have a hard decision to make.
Yeah, I want a hard decision.
That said, let me just check here. All right. Thanks for listening to our show, everybody.
Are you jumping ahead? We have listener buzz.
Oh my gosh. Don't
we have to do phone calls?
Yes. Yes. We have to do that. Okay.
You're tired, but.
All right. So that said, let's do some lists. We didn't get a lot of emails today in the email bag, but we did get a couple of voicemails. So the first one we are having is from the man, the myth, the legend, which is Downtown Steve Brown.
Hello, Alex and Lizzie. This is Steve, and this is for the season finale of From.
Well, you figured out the electricity comes out and you're a little peckish. And that tent is messed up. What a jerk. And he's still riding around on the stolen bicycle. Oh, Kenny shot down again. They all have in common, they all end up at the bar.
Oh, this is sweet between Ellis and Paloma. Right? Is that her name? Was it a giant spider? Because all these cobwebs?
That was weird. His wife's body or something, one of those things, and then all those spiders on him. Ew.
Oh, did they just abandon whatever was in the hole in the basement of their house to help with these cords and things now?
Oh, too soon, Jay. Don't make jokes about the box.
Okay, so there is a plan B, has to do with the basement, I guess.
Oh, yeah, there's a storm coming for sure. Ooh. Oh, it's a lighthouse. Okay.
Oh, I totally forgot about this, that the voice on the other side of the radio is talking to him about his wife. Oh,
what's Victor doing under the house? Oh, the boy in white again, talking with his mind. Now, where is Boyd at? He went through the far... I guess that was one of those faraway trees? Uh-oh, a bus has just arrived, and the magic jukebox is playing. Well, all right, we'll bring on season two.
Oh, my God. Steve is like Mr. Time Travel.
Steve is Mr. Time Travel, and thank you so much. And thank you so much for that awesome feedback. We do have another piece of feedback. It's a little bit longer, but it's from a newer listener who's a Podcastica member, Karen. So let's see what she has to say.
Hi, Alex and Lizzie. My name is Karen Medeiros, and I'm so enjoying your podcast. You guys really get into the detail, and it's awesome. It's right up my alley. Aww. So I binged the whole series about a month or so ago, and I've been rewatching during your podcast. So when I originally watched, it kind of bothered me that the residents didn't seem to be trying to figure out how to kill or contain the monsters. It just literally occurred to me on this second watch that where the monsters might have been during the day. My question here is there a way to contain them or stop them from being able to hide during the day? Does something happen to them during the daylight? Is there a reason they can't come out then? Who do you think was speaking to Sarah? Because I assumed it was Abby, but was there someone else speaking to her before that? Because she said the voice was different and something like that. And then it seemed like there was someone else speaking to her after that. So this got very confusing for me. Are they all people that died there? Like, because then the boy in white talks to her. So I'm trying to understand the motives behind why they would want Ethan killed. But then they're trying to save them. And I don't know, it seemed a little confusing. Regarding episode 9, I did not pay attention to those dates on the wall that Tabitha saw in her vision or the bottles. I'm glad you guys did that. I kind of explained what you thought about that. When Tabitha was having that vision, I assumed that was a lighthouse that she was in. It looked like that, like the circular staircase. But then the horn that went off was what convinced me after that. And in episode 10, Boyd and Sarah, they see something and hear the horn. And then they see the lighthouse. And now Boyd is telling Sarah to go there. So I'm wondering, what is the deal with this lighthouse? What is the difference between the monsters and the people in the various visions that our characters have had? Are these people who died in the town? Like, you know, like Abby, that's why Boyd saw her. Is there a connection to the monsters? Are they antagonistic with the monsters? Are they trying to stop the monsters? The monsters trying to stop them? I've been wondering if From was actually like a real town in the past that Victor lived in, like he lived in as a kid. That photograph with the cop and young Victor was in the background. I think this was episode 17. That looked to me like maybe it was just a normal town and Victor grew up there. And then one day he woke up and there were monsters killing people. Was it a real town? Do we have any info about Victor traveling there just like everyone else? If so, I missed that. So those are some of my big questions for you and others. I'm really looking forward to season two. That ending, that finale ending was intense. A busload of people coming into town. All hell is going to break loose and From. Like you guys, I'm hoping the writers learned a few lessons from Lost. Alex, you need to watch Lost. The ending isn't as bad as everyone made it out to be, in my opinion. I binged it about 2 years ago and loved it. Of course, I knew people had complained about the ending, so I was prepared for whatever they were going to throw my way. But I do think it's so similar to From. So I would recommend it anyway. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Jodie here from the International Contingent. Here is what I thought about the finale of season one of From. So Kiddo's talking about the faraway trees. And I've just realized Victor must have gone through the faraway tree as well. But where did he land? Julie landed in the cellar. Where did Victor land? We haven't seen him for a while. Okay, this spiderweb situation that Boyd is in is super creepy. Every time Jade calls Jim Teacup, Julie flinches. This is cute. She's getting annoyed on behalf of her dad. I feel like this map of where they're all from that Donna's looking at the moment is going to be pivotal to working out what From actually is. Oh, bartender guy's got some heavy truth. They always end up at the bar. I love that Jim's plan is like build a tower, which is delicate work. It involves, you know, splicing wires and all this kind of stuff. And Tabitha's like, I'm digging a hole and I need weapons of, you know, brute force to do so. I love it. What the shit? Is that his wife? Oh my God, his wife is wrapped up in spider webs? What the hell is going on? Okay, that just scared the shit out of me. Oh, bugs, crawling bugs. Yep, definitely. Okay, so that wasn't his wife. So it must have been the, you know, one of the two parties, good or evil. Oh, is this like Lost all over again? You know how we all said that they were all in purgatory and the Lost creators were like, no, for 6 years, you guys are wrong. And then the last year they were like, oh yeah, you were totally right. Is this just a battle between good and evil? Boyd just went into the light and got eviled? Once again, Jim is sexy building this tower. I feel like Boyd might have been poisoned by their spider bites, but just a wild, wild, wild theory. What if the poison in the spider bites fixes his, whatever he has, is it Parkinson's? Yeah, so Boyd's in pain from the spider bites and Sarah's like, yeah, keep moving so that poison circulates through your system even more. Great. So Sarah motivating Boyd to try and get back to town is the most positively useful I've ever seen her in this entire series. Oh, there's a storm above Sarah and Boyd. How far away are they from town and the tower? Oh my God, Jade is hilarious. I know how offensive you find my proclivities. Jim has literally never said that, and Jim looks like a total stoner as well. This scene between Jade and Mrs. Chin is really sad. Even more so because Mrs. Chin can't go home. Her husband is buried here. She lost her husband in this place. Jade just moved me to tears. Oh, what a moment. The tower going up. This is awesome. So much hope and optimism. Oh, it's working. This is so exciting. Oh my God, I'm beside myself. This is going to go crashing down, isn't it? This is going to be a disaster. I can feel it. Well, that's very curious timing of the storm arriving just as they've got the tower up there. Okay. It's a lighthouse? Holy shit, they got someone on the radio? Uh-oh, radio guy knows who Jim is. No! He knows about Tabitha digging the hole, so they aren't being watched. Oh, no! Yes, run, Jim, run as fast as the wind. Oh, Tabitha's fallen in the hole. Oh, my God. Please don't. Oh, my God. She's going to die. Oh, she's not dead. Okay. Okay. You can get up, Tabitha. Get up. Work out what's going on. Holy shit. It's Victor. No. They're where the monsters sleep. So Boyd went to the light and Tabitha's gone to the darkness where the monsters are. So this is a really inappropriate thing to mention at this point in time, but Jim is even sexy wet. Why is there a massive hole in their entire floor? Oh dear God, Boyd is trapped in a chimney of some description. Holy shit, it's a tour bus. Oh no, this is not going to be good. More cannon for the fodder. Fodder for the cannon? Holy shit, that was a good episode. Oh my God, I feel so much better having watched that. I've been watching popcorn TV, which has just been rotting my brain. Like, but this was just delicious and I loved it. And oh my God, I can't wait for season two. Just a few more points. Number one, Jim is super sexy. Number two, what if the bartender is in on whatever is happening? Like, we don't know how long he's been there. He knows that everyone who tries to get out ends up at the bar and depressed and lonely, and he helps them survive, well, at least survive, so they can continue being eaten by monsters. And he seems to already know that they won't be successful in getting out. I think they are definitely in a simulated environment because that storm came up as soon as they got that tower up. They're definitely being watched, given the guy on the radio was like, hey, what's your wife doing, Jim? We know she's digging the hole and she's about to get in trouble and like fall into where the monsters sleep. Dear God in heaven. They're definitely being monitored. They're definitely in a simulated environment that can be manipulated to control and limit their behavior. You know, like the Truman Show did for poor Truman. Like, he tried to get out with his wife and things kept happening to stop him. So I think it's kind of similar. Those are my thoughts. Thanks, you guys. Your podcast has been like a little bright spot in the last 2 weeks for me. So you've really helped me through a bit of a ridiculous period in my professional career. So thanks so much. And I hope to hear from you guys. All right, let's go. Season two.
That was awesome feedback, and hopefully we can't wait to see your picture as well as Steve.
Yeah.
Brown. And Jody, if we don't get a picture from you from Australia, we're going to be very upset.
Yeah. You know what? I think what we should do with Karen is we could take her call and break down her questions one by one. And yeah, I think that would be great.
Yeah, she made some good points. I mean, even points that we didn't bring up. You know, you can only think of so many things. There are some good questions. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in season two. So that said, I want to thank you, my dear, for taking me on this little trip, this from trip.
Thank you for saying yes. Let me give you your little wire engagement ring.
I know, right? I feel so...
Alex is my
so
person.
Honored. Yes, you are my lobster. I am married to a Lizzie, so it's, you know, that's not that Lizzie. It's the long distance that really kills me. If you like the podcast, you could hit subscribe. And if you like it even more, give us 5 stars because she has 1 star every one on her tiara. Also, if you want to write us feedback, you can leave a voicemail or write us feedback at podcastica.com.
Actually, I mean, you could even send an email to our other email address from epicspodcast@gmail.com. So while you're there, while you are subscribing and giving us 5 stars, or while you're at the Podcastica site, while you're there, please check out our other shows. They've got, you know what? I did some research on this and I had it all in my head.
Well, I know they just finished up Stranger Things.
They just finished up Stranger Things. Better Call Saul started.
Or ending. They just started back up.
Oh, that's already ending?
Yeah, well, it's on its last
part
of it.
I'm talking about like they just started podcasting about it again.
Yes.
Yeah. So go check it out, because if you like listening to podcasts about shows, Podcastica is the network for you. I'm telling you, last season's Handmaid's Tale was off the hook.
Yes, so, and they are geared up for next year.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Did you see the trailers yet?
I haven't seen anything. So, you know, oh my, Charlotte is sleeping. She's snoring with her eyes open.
Oh, geez. One of the things they just covered as well, Lucy and her special guest, Peter, wrapped up their coverage of the Korean zombie saga.
Oh, yes,
Kingdom.
The Kingdom. Not the Kingdom, but Kingdom.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to mention. I was really excited about that. I started watching Kingdom. It was so awesome. But when I realized that they were eating the flesh of people and that's why they became zombies, I got so grossed out, I couldn't go on. And it's such a good show.
I know. I will say this though, and I just finished it. They had the season finale for Strange Indeed, and Paik and Rima did it. But I have to say, it was a 3-hour podcast, and every second was worth it. They did such a great job breaking it down. And if you're a fan of Stranger Things, it's a great breakdown. I mean, tons of feedback. It's such a popular show. So check out all the Podcastica network things. What are you up to? What other podcasts are you doing? And how's Brains Gone Bad doing?
Well, Brains Gone Bad is going to come out of a brief hiatus sometime this weekend. I'm going to break down the Walking Dead trailer whenever they put it out there, and Kim and I will talk about that. But otherwise, we'll be back with Tales of the Walking Dead. And that's it.
That's awesome.
So let's see. If you're looking for a book, I'm not going to say good book, bad book, but if you're looking for a book to read or a book series, I have my series, Lizzie's Lost Girls. So you could always pick that up, or Witch Hunters in Salem. So that's
I may be putting out a new podcast on my Field of Screen, Eight
what?
Man Out. Yeah.
Really?
I've had them in the can. I just haven't been able to get my act. I've had them in the can. I just haven't been able to get my act together. And maybe I can even get you on there and watch a sports movie one of these days.
Maybe. I don't know.
I know.
It depends
I know
on the movie.
Well,
maybe
that's
bang the drum slowly.
Oh, geez. Could you get another uplifting one?
I could.
Yeah, anything other than that.
But
if that's what you want, I'll be more than happy to. Anytime I get to podcast with you is a great day.
Oh my God.
Next week we're gonna be hopefully covering poster contests.
Yep.
So we need to get those posters in, and that's pretty much it.
That's our show.
Well, thanks for listening. And the zombies/monsters just woke up, so out of the hole. So we got to figure out how to see how they get out. We got to figure out where the hell Boyd is. We got to figure out what's going to happen at Colony House. And we figured out where Victor was. But, yeah. You know, we also have to figure out where Sarah is.
Yeah, where did she end up?
Talk to you soon. And where the hell that bus came from. Bye.